Important components of CRF foundations. Important components of CRM project foundations as follows. The same we discussed on the previous slide. All the six of them, equally important. Importance of identifying stakeholders for CRM project foundations. Identifying stakeholders involves stakeholder management. It involves assessing the existing relationship with stakeholders and finding the gaps to improve the activities, projects, and business performance. Stakeholders of businesses include senior management, marketing staff, salespeople, customer service agents, channel partners, customers, and IT specialists. These are all the people who come into stakeholders, right? From your business senior level management, marketing people, salespeople, service agents, channel partners, customers themselves, and IT specialists. We are basically understanding this entire component in detail, each one of them, with the stakeholder identification. Identifying stakeholders not only involves functioning, but also to assess the wants of each and every group of stakeholders. Assessing the needs of the stakeholders determines the extent of success of the CRM foundation and implementation. Companies such as ExxonMobil, SAP, and PeopleSoft use stakeholder management systems. This tool helps to identify the needs of the stakeholders. They also correlate the activities of the business in fulfillment of the needs of the stakeholders as well. In addition, stakeholder management tools also improves the stakeholder knowledge base. It allows in better capturing and complete history of every interaction with the stakeholders. Since CRM implementation in businesses globally includes the adoption of software or tools, it is imperative that the needs of the vendor are well understood by the service providers. Better the customer experience, more likely it is the chance that the business adopts the same and promotes the implementation of CRM. The more better the customer experience, the higher chances of the business to adopt CRM and promote the same in their organization. In this case, businesses use various forms of models to assess the perceived easy to use and usefulness by customers. For instance, a business associated with software development uses technology acceptance model to assess if the stakeholders are able to use the tool. They will also check whether their perseverance matches the intentions to use the tool. TAM, or technology acceptance model, for CRM project foundations. External variables are perceived ease of use, perceived usefulness, which is directly related to attitude to use, intention to use, and actual use. Right? All right, let's move ahead. Establishing governance structures. Governance structures act more like rules and regulations for the proper implementation of the CRM. After identifying the stakeholders and their needs, the business sets project roles and responsibilities. This allows different internal stakeholders with the allocation for appropriate implementation of tasks. And in this section, the importance of the internal hierarchy of the business is put to test. Governance structure in business, according to, is not limited to supervision of the appropriate implementation of the tasks. It also extends to the management of the hierarchy of information flow and equal distribution of tasks. Roles of different internal stakeholders in the governance structure. Each group is aimed at identifying the characteristics of the customers so as to identify aspects to retain existing customers. At the same time, each group assesses the usability and the key users of the advocated method. The lead developer's role ensures that the CRM tool is customized to meet the needs of users and external stakeholders. The database developer role ensures that the customer-related data held in disparate databases are made available to end users in the form required for operational and analytical CRM applications. The CRM governance committee provides the foundations and direction for CRM project priorities in alignment with the university's mission and vision. Specific responsibilities include evaluate and prioritize new enterprise CRM projects and major enhancements. What does effective governance do? It defines best practices in design and development, manages shared components, resources, and dependencies. Effective governance does not set development priorities, review development any more frequently than it is absolutely necessary in order to maintain quality standards. You should understand that the front-end developer role ensures that the user interface is easy to understand and use. That's the role of any front-end developer, to make it easy for any user to use and understand what is happening. Similarly, a systems integrator helps CRM program find information using an interface to link between different systems and different parameters. Again, an experienced consultant associated with the CRM implementation helps to steer the committee, overcome problems as the project progresses. These CRM consultants are usually third parties whose expertise is in CRM development and tool formation. In many organizations, governance is synonymous with requirements, metrics, and remunerative action. For reference, please see the public sector at large. And that isn't necessary in CDS. In some cases where tolerance for failure is virtually zero, these may be necessary measures of quality control, and there are cultures which actually thrive under regulation. Typically, these are best served by traditional top-down and forward planning methodologies. However, it is my experience that more often enterprise projects are best served by more agile processes, which facilitate decision making at the ground level wherever possible. It hardly seems worth arguing the case that governance dictated design and review is anathema to the agile values of user knows best and high flexibility. Identify organizational change as management needs. Before constructing governance structure, it is important to identify the needs of the management and the change that is going to occur. The majority of businesses globally use John Kotter's see, feel, change approach. To assess the changes needed by the management, you use the see, feel, change approach. To bring about a change in CRM, it is necessary to see the need for change, as well as the feel the need for change, and if the change will be good for the business and ultimately make the change. So you see, feel, and change the approach. So see the need for the change, feel the need for the change, and if the change will be good for the company or the business, ultimately implement the change. There are two main needs for changes in CRM. One is organizational culture, and the other is John Kotter's buy-in. The competing values model of organizational structure looks like this. If you see, flexibility and discretion on top, on the bottom, stability and control, and on the left, internal focus and integration, and on the right, external focus and differentiation. What does this include? Four things: clan, hierarchy, market, and adhocracy. All four elements are equally important. Let's understand all of these four in much more depth. Identifying buy-in change as management needs. The next need for change is intellectual buy-in, where people know what has to be changed and understand the justification for the change. In other words, the business assesses that the changes needed by the management are justified and the change will improve the performance of the business. If this justification is not there, there is no reason to do the change or make the change. It's contrary, emotional buy-in shows genuine heartfelt enthusiasm, even excitement about the change in CRM or the CRM process. In this case, the changes needed remain usually irrelevant and does not cause any change in business performance. Changes are based on the needs and the type of buy-ins. Businesses use John Kotter's model of buy-in metrics to show the possibility of employee segments reflecting the presence or absence of emotional and rational buy-in. Identify critical success factors for CRM project foundations. Critical success factors are attributes and variables that can significantly impact business outcomes from implementation or renewal of CRM strategy. It is imperative that a clear customer strategy defines the company's offers, markets, and channels. Success factors also comprise of an organizational culture that promotes coordination and information sharing across business units. It is also imperative that pertinent, accurate, timely, and usable customer-related information is available and a clear focus on people and process issues and not limited to technology is available. These factors too act as a critical success factors for the implementation of CRM. Businesses' ability to focus on automating processes that reduce costs and improves customer experience, engagement of all stakeholders, including end users and customers, also acts as success factors. Everybody should be involved, whoever is a part of the business, right? From the employee to the customer to the top level management to the bottom level people, everybody. Phase 3, needs specification and partner selection. Having built the CRM project foundation, the next phase involves specifying needs and selecting suitable partners. The first task of phase 3 is to identify business processes that need attention, making them more effective or efficient, or flagging them as candidates for automation. Business processes can be defined as follows. A business process is a set of activities performed by people and or technology in order to achieve a desired outcome. Putting it more simply, business processes are how things get done by a company. Processes can be classified in several ways: vertical and horizontal, front and back office, primary and secondary. Vertical processes are those that are located entirely within a business function. For example, the customer acquisition process might reside totally within the marketing department. Horizontal processes are cross-functional. New product development processes are typically horizontal and span sales, marketing, finance, and research development functions. Front office or front stage processes are those that the customers encounter. The example and the complaints handling process is an example of the same, because complaints are handled by multiple people, not just one person, and that's exactly what a front-end person has to do. Data review and gap analysis. Having identified processes that require attention, the next step is to review the data requirements for the CRM implementation and to identify shortfalls. Strategic CRM uses customer-related data to identify which customers to target for acquisition, retention, and development, and what to offer to the same. Operational CRM uses customer-related data to everyday running of the business, for example, handling billing queries in the contact center or mounting campaigns in the marketing department. Analytical CRM uses customer-related data to answer questions such as, who are our most profitable customers and which customers are more likely to churn? Collaborative CRM uses customer-related data to enable channel partners to target their communications much more precisely. The fundamental issue companies have to ask is, what customer-related data do we need for strategic, operational, analytical, and collaborative CRM purposes? Identifying this data is the biggest issue that companies might face. But when you've identified this data, for all the four purposes, you are doing the right thing, my friend. Members of the program team should be well-placed to answer the question, what information is needed? For example, the program team's marketing lead would be expected to appreciate the information needs of direct marketers running event-based campaigns. The main objective of this gap model for customer service are to identify gaps between customer expectation and customer perception, close the gap, and improve overall customer satisfaction at all levels. The various kinds of gaps. Number one, the knowledge gap. The knowledge gap tackles the difference between customer expectations and the perception of their needs, as seen by management. This occurs usually when the management team does not fully understand what the customer really wants. This can only be solved by talking to the customer more often and understanding what is it that they're looking for. Gap two, the policy gap. The policy gap means the difference between the perception of needs by management and the actual specification of the service provided. This happens when the management understands what the customers want, but it doesn't translate into correct specifications and orders to the rest of the company. Gap three, the delivery gap. The delivery gap refers to the difference between the specification of the service and the service that's being produced by the company. This occurs when the people who produce the service are unable, unwilling, or just do not know how to fully reach the specified and needed standard of that service. So you are trying to understand where to deliver and where are we falling short of that delivery that the customer is expecting. Number four, the communication gap. This is by far something that can be avoided by just good communication. Communication gap. In the case of communication gap, we're looking into the difference between the service produced by the company and overall communication. This mostly happens when the service expectations formed by customers based on corporate communications are not met at all. Gap five, the customer gap. And finally, the customer gap refers to the difference between customer expectations and customers' perceptions. This may arise when customers see a characteristics of service quality as something undesirable. This gap is also now used to identify overall customer dissatisfaction, which appears as a result of the sum of the other gaps that we just learned, right? From the delivery gap, the communication gap, the knowledge gap, and the policy gap, helping you understand the customer gap in much more depth, because all of this is centered around one person, which is the customer. Write request for proposals. RFP. Before calling for proposals, you need to write a detailed RFP. This document becomes a standard against which vendors' proposals are evaluated. It summarizes your thinking about the CRM program and invites interested parties to respond in a structured way. Organizations issues a RFP purpose. Organizations issue a RFP when they are in the process of choosing a service provider or vendor. This comprehensive document outlines project specifications like price, scope, and add-ons, and includes a request for potential vendors to respond with bids. Once the bids are received from different vendors, the organization reviews and evaluates them to determine the best choice. The RFP document helps an organization quickly uncover the strengths and weaknesses of potential vendors as they relate to the organization's specific project. It also gives organizations a sneak peek into different strategies of different vendors, as each submitted RFP by vendors will have a unique action plan along with their unique bids. It's on the company to decide which vendor to pick and why, depending on the cost, features, and everything else the vendor is providing. What is an RPF? Obviously, what is an RFP in CRM? An organization looking for a new CRM software may release an RFP, outlining what it is looking for and what goals it aims to achieve with the new CRM software. Therefore, RFP plays a vital role in the organizational cycle. Organizations that issue RFPs are generally looking for CRM vendors that can assist them with CRM software, security onboarding, IT support, training, add-ons, and other services. In response to RFP requests, CRM vendors submit proposals and generally provide the following information: a complete step-by-step action plan of how things will be handled, a timeline of what to expect, how to expect it, and when to expect it, an estimated price breakdown of their CRM implementation, any necessary background information as well. Why issue a request for proposal? Below are two scenarios you could go through when choosing a CRM vendor. You spend a lot of time identifying the perfect CRM vendor on your own. You use an RFP to get potential vendors to come to you. Choosing the first option will take a lot of time and organizational resources, as you perform tons of independent research. You will then have to identify the top 5 to 10 CRM vendors and explain the project specifications to each one of them. Imagine how tedious would that be and how expensive would that be. Now comes the second option. What if these potential CRM vendors are already aware of your organization's specific CRM requirements and come back to you with their best plan of action and a formal bid for you to review? It will save your time, energy, and effort. When creating a CRM RFP, you must ask open-ended questions because they allow respondents to include more information, including feelings, attitudes, and understanding of the project. You need to remember that simply asking yes or no questions will not get you anywhere. Benefits of a CRM RFP. What are the different benefits of a CRM RFP? Simplifies your customer relationship management software selection process by helping you identify and lay out all the function and feature criteria you need to know at one place. Helps you build a consensus of must-have versus nice-to-have features with different CRM vendors. Lets you identify the core requirement that you can expect from a CRM solution. Encourages collaboration with different stakeholders at the same time before you can arrive at the final decision. Typical contents of the RFP include instructions to respondents, company background, the CRM vision and strategy, strategic, operational, analytical, and collaborative CRM requirements, and process issues such as customer interaction mapping, process re-engineering. Technological issues such as delivery model, functionality required, management reports required, hardware requirements and performance measures, architectural issues, system integration issues, customization requirements, upgrades, and service requirements. Typical contents of RFP include also the following, such as people issues, project management services, change management services, management and staff training, costing issues, TCO targets, implementation issues, contractual issues, criteria for accessing proposals, timeline for responding to proposals. Phase 4, project implementation. By now you have developed a CRM strategy, built the CRM project foundations, specified your needs, and selected one or more partners. It is now implementation time. Define project plan. The first step of phase 4 requires you to cooperate with your selected partners in defining the project plan. Remember, this was originally defined without consideration of the needs and availability of your partners. You may find that your partners' consultants are already committed to other projects and that you'll have to wait. Your partners will be able to help you set new milestones and define the budget. Identify technology customization needs. It is very common that off-the-shelf technology fails to meet all the requirements of the users. Sometimes vendors have industry-specific versions of the CRM software. Oracle, for example, offers a range of CRM suites for banking, retail, public sector, and other verticals. Even so, some customization is often required. The lead developer, database developer, and front-end developer in partnership with vendors can perform these roles. Customization needs are typically specified using a gap analysis approach, which we learned earlier. The required business process is supplied to the vendor, who, after his preparation, presents how this process is supported in the software that he's providing. Any gaps that are highlighted for subsequent analysis and an action will be his job to tell you where and how is he solving the same. This continues until all business processes have been examined. The resultant gap register is then assessed. Priorities are established and customization of their software or modification of the business process begins. Phase 5, evaluate performance. The final phase of the CRM project involves an evaluation of its performance. How well has it performed? Two sets of variables can be measured: project outcomes and business outcomes. Project outcomes focus on whether the project has been delivered on time and in the budget. Your evaluation of the business outcomes requires you to return to the project objectives, your definition of CRM success, and the business case, and ask whether the desired results have been achieved. If your single goal was to enhance customer retention with a measurable lift from 70 to 80% of customer retention rates, and this is accomplished, then your CRM project has been successful. Congratulations. However, the most projects have multiple objectives, and it is common for some objectives to be achieved and others to be missed. Lead conversion by the sales team might rise, but lead generation by the campaign managers might fall short of objective. A critical issue concerns the timing of any business performance evaluation. It can take users several months to become familiar with new processes and competent in using new technology. Post-implementation analysis. CRM is an ongoing process, not an event. It must be carefully managed over time, even after a successful rollout. The results of the new approaches and tool usage must be tracked and reviewed regularly by management. The company must invest over time in upgrading to process the technology and upgrade the technology as much as possible. This requires focusing on upgradation and customer process optimization. Upgradation means delivering unique customers' experiences via optimized customer-facing processes. Customer process optimization means CRM-oriented solutions which are offered primarily in four categories of functional capabilities: marketing, sales, service, and customer data and analytics, forming the traditional basis for software vendor feature function comparisons for you and your peers. Companies shopping for CRM software should determine which vendor best supports the business processes and being addressed and how well the vendor solution can support the business process improvements anticipated for the future. New deployment options. An organization adopting CRM initiatives should explore hybrid deployment models that provide a better solution tailored for all the parts of the business. Strategic framework for CRM. To gain a sustainable competitive advantage and make the most of relationships with customers, organizations should consider a basic set of strategic principles that we have identified based on the successful strategies of best-run companies. Number one, balancing efficiency and effectiveness. A good CRM strategy needs to balance efficiency and effectiveness. Many organizations tend to focus largely on efficiency and often ignore the impact of their actions on effectiveness. This may alienate customers and erode profits. Improving efficiency doesn't matter unless you do the right thing in the first place. That's why effectiveness must take precedence over efficiency, without neglecting to identify critical processes and areas for efficiency gains. So make sure that effectiveness is taken before efficiency. Capitalizing on customer insight. A lot of brands, a lot of companies do not do this. To stay ahead of the competition, you need to develop proper information, proper strategies of analyzing the information about the customers beyond common industry standards, common industry wisdom, and available to everybody else, such as new product development, marketing investments, resource alignment, and sales planning is what you will be doing much, much, much better if you get into a detailed customer's insight. Successful organizations build a customer intelligence network, make customer insight accessible throughout the organization, and translate this knowledge into frontline actions. Align marketing, sales, service with the customers in mind. All these three departments of yours should be together. Operational excellence and consistent customer experience cannot be achieved when departments make independent decisions and take isolated actions to achieve their numbers. It has to be together as one. Organizations need to give up their internal departmental views and revise their frontline business processes and information sharing practices across marketing, sales, and service. They need to align their customer-facing operations, break the silos, link discrete systems, or even better, create single instance so that they can frequently share valuable marketing, sales, or service information with the right people. Manage customer experience across touchpoints. Today, customers have multiple channels that can be used to get information, purchase goods, and pay their bills, request services, or get support based on the specific needs and preferences they have. They expect convenience, choice, and operational reliability, and a consistent experience across all these touch points. Companies can differentiate themselves by successfully managing the complexity of a customer interaction across multiple channels in a proliferating environment, while synchronizing an offline and online channel and taking advantage of the efficiency of automation. Guide customers to the right channel. It's your duty as an organization to take them to the right channel. Many organizations fail to deliver the channels to meet the touchpoint needs of their customers and don't guide them to the most appropriate channel for them. For example, a common strategy is to simply push as many customers as possible to low-cost self-service channels. This can in fact increase costs and churn rates and destroy market share for you. It's important to understand the channel economics, strengths, and weaknesses of each channel, and carefully evaluate how to reach out to your customers. To yield the best results, you must optimize your entire channel mix, aligning your channel strategy with customer segments and business goals. Beyond the touchpoint, connect the front office and the back office. Synchronizing between the front and back office and supply chain activities is absolutely critical to attain and retain customers. Fulfill demand and deliver on service promises as well. Many organizations are losing revenue simply because they fail to connect their front and back end offices. The process is not smooth and the customer goes to a competitor. Without seamless real-time integration, customer satisfaction declines and customer attrition rises as online transactions fail, products aren't available at the time and places needed, orders can't be changed, service technicians don't have the right spare parts, so on and so forth. All of these issues can't be immediately resolved at the first call. Thus, you need to know how to tackle them smartly and correct them in the next step. Create customer-driven value network. As companies focus increasingly on their core competencies, they will be ever more dependent on an ecosystem of suppliers and partners to meet customer demand and generate growth. To be successful, partners need to become an integral part of the value network, providing complementary capabilities to promote their brand, sell products, and offer value-added services. It is critical to define the role of these partners, manage the relationships with them, and integrate them in a way that enables seamless end-to-end business process across the entire network. Number 8, adopt a technology framework for adaptability and integration. As adaptability, collaboration, and speed become winning elements of corporate success, organizations need an open and flexible IT architecture, providing a platform that seamlessly integrates and processes the information from disparate applications, enables intra-enterprise and inter-enterprise collaboration, and quickly maps business processes to changing business needs. Finally, we come to the conclusion of the chapter. What have we learned in this chapter? Successful CRM selection and implementation. Why CRM implementation fail and impact of failure. Elements to contracting and licensing of CRM. Employee training for CRM. Phases of CRM implementation. Identifying stakeholders for CRM implementation. Data review and gap analysis. Post-implementation analysis. With that, I would want you to take a short break. Come back here. Drink some water. Listen to music. Take a deep breath in, take a deep breath out, and you know what to do. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, whenever you can, don't forget to smile and spread a smile. Thank you so very much.